Blood Moon coming up on Wednesday, October 8th. It'll be in the morning. We'll be talking to Dr. Sky this week about that situation. And in a moment, incoming, the only expose of the incoming of Nibiru, that planet. Some call it Planet X. Bob Fletcher next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Bob Fletcher back with us. It's been about 6 years. He's a retired investigative researcher. He conducted a probe on the CIA's involvement in the U.S. drug trade. His report was presented to several congressmen, including the late Sonny Bono. And since then, he has turned his attention to the return of Planet X, Nibiru. Here's Bob Fletcher back on Coast to Coast. 6 years, Robert. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm doing as good as I can, I guess, considering age catching up with me. And actually, one of the reasons I kind of had been unplugged for a few years. A lot of folks wanted to know where have you been, why I hadn't been here or hadn't been there. But back in 97, I was actually blown out of my bed about 1 o'clock in the morning and was never really figured out exactly what that was. But it had totally destroyed my shoulder.
Jeez.
And like a bomb had gone off inside of it. And I was in the process at that time of doing an investigative expose on what is considered to be weapons of mass control. I had completed that inquiry, but I was in the middle of that at that time. So it was kind of interesting because apparently another fellow that had come out as a whistleblower similar to myself, a fellow named Ted Bell, had done the conspiracy theory program on television, and a few hours after finishing that, he also was struck down with some unknown device, gave him a cardiac arrest, and
Jeez.
He was dead.
Now, this concussion, Bob...
I didn't want to get into that much. I don't want to get into the details because we don't have time. Want to get, obviously, into the Nibiru situation.
Sure, sure. But let me ask you, when you got blown out of the bed, I mean, was it like a bomb outside of the house or what?
No, apparently it was an electronic weapon of some type. I was down there living in Los Angeles in your backyard.
Yeah.
Everybody, as you know, have sliding glass doors and what have you. And I was sleeping right there next to one of them. And all of a sudden, I went into a major convulsion. Was never found out why, what that was about. I did not have epileptic problems. It was nothing. I had a lot of tests after that. But it was an extraordinary situation about 1:30 in the morning. But what happened was it literally, whatever this was, I never left the bed. I was laying flat on my back when this took place. But my shoulder, to describe it as the surgeons described it when they got in to try to do the repairs, that it looked like a bomb had gone off in the middle of my shoulder. And I had been put into this strange convulsive situation. But it wasn't until several years later when I found out this fellow who was actually a whistleblower on Jesse Ventura's program,
mm-hmm.
talking about beam weapons and the lasers and microwaves that they have created to create heart attacks and that type of thing. That was actually what his program was based on. And they were, of course, also talking about the particle beam gun that
sure.
may have brought down the Twin Towers. He all of a sudden went into a convulsion while standing in his kitchen, apparently, 48 hours after he had
finished. That's right. That was Fred Bell. Fred Bell. That was his name, Bob.
Yeah. Oh, right. I'm sorry.
Fred Bell.
And anyhow, he apparently was exactly the same. And like I said, I didn't want to eat up too much time talking about it, but that's that actually made me 75%. Disabled officially, and I've been messed up ever since.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's just the bad deal was, of course, at that point in time, I was doing presentations, exposés on government corruption all over the United States, and of course interviewed by every media in the world, besides speaking before the United States Senate Intelligence Committee, and had. But it just unplugged me. It slowed me down. It's like carrying a weight around my an albatross, so to speak. I've just never been up to 100% since then.
How did you make?
But that's neither here.
How did you make the turn into Nibiru? I mean, because you did. You covered, you know, Iran-Contra, weapons sales, narcotic sales, and then all of a sudden you're dealing with. I don't want to necessarily call it supernatural, but a topic that has been dear to us for so many years, Planet X, Nibiru. How did that evolution occur?
Well, the reality was, again, I've always done things that I really had been directly involved with, and by that I mean my reports and my DVD reports were originally VHS presentations for the you know, for the public to try to bring them up to steam on what was an unbelievable amount of corruption in our government. I was looking into a couple of different things, but all of a sudden I realized that there was this extraordinary amount of money disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
The gold is all gone out of Fort Knox. Anybody that thinks that's any of it still in there, more than a couple of bars to maybe show somebody. Otherwise, all of that's gone. As we know, Ron Paul tried to get an audit, and several others have tried to get proof of the gold and what have you. And that's all gone. It's disappeared. And then I saw and was brought to my attention by a friend out of Washington. I had, over the period of, been doing this now for like 30 years, and I had a couple of friends that had brought to my attention, of course, number one was the Department of Defense, what is named Rumsfeld, that came forward, the Secretary of Defense came forward and announced the day before the Twin Towers episode, he came out and said, listen, we can't find $2.3 trillion from the Defense Department.
Oh, jeez. Gone.
And by the way, and this was in front of the Congress, a congressional inquiry, and that was the day before the Twin Towers went down. So, of course, we never seriously heard much about that, period. That was the end of that story. If you didn't get it that day, you were not going to get it. Then, of course, a short time later, the woman that actually would be doing auditing for the Federal Reserve, she came out before, in a process of speaking before the Congress, she came out and said that there was $7 or $9 trillion, these are all with a T, $1 trillion in the Federal Reserve that they couldn't quite locate. They weren't sure what banks in Europe had been lent this multiple trillions of dollars. So here we have this unbelievable, again, we're talking trillions, not even billions, which would have been really outrageous. These guys, I had chased for years and years the guys up there that were stealing multi-millions, you know, putting it in their own pockets and what have you, and chasing a variety of, and the drug connections and all of that. But now we're into multi-billions and then trillions. And I started saying to myself, I said, where in the world would that kind of money go? You can't launder $1 trillion.
No, you can't hide that.
No, and even a good drug operative can't launder that kind of money. And I get thinking, where would it go? How could it go? How could it disappear? And then flashback to me again was stories that had rumbled across my desk multitude of times back in the 1994, 95, 97, that period of time, was people contacting me and saying, what do you know about these underground facilities?
Hold on right there, Bob. We're going to come back in just a moment. And this is our first emerging artist, by the way, Brian Lazar, the song Need You Much. Brian's from Westlake Village, California. We do Emerging Artists on the first Sunday of every month. Host Insider. We'll be back more with Bob Fletcher as we talk about his latest work. It's a DVD. It's called Incoming, the only expose of the incoming of Nibiru. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Bob Fletcher with us. He'll be with us for a couple hours today. And Bob, you were talking about how you were leading up to your expose on Planet X, so I'll let you pick up that story from there. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, and for the folks that may not know me, I have an awful lot of people that I hate doing this kind of a thing, but a lot of folks did not know, and I can't get into, could get into it, but it would eat up too much time to do that fantastic story of how I got involved originally with Central Intelligence Operations that were actually run out of my little business in Atlanta, Georgia, directly connected to illegal arms for the Contras and all around the globe with all their little artificial wars mm-hmm. that the intelligence agents get involved with. So I don't have time to do all that, but during that process and in the 90s, I had ended up being actually... Because of that, I had been contacted by intelligence agents, senators' offices, Congress offices that were doing all these different inquiries on a huge variety of activities. We do have a few good congressmen and senators, but you won't run into large groups of them up there, that's for sure. But a few of the honest ones, I had actually been involved and dragged back into it. In terms of doing investigations and inquiries for about 8 very important major congressional and Senate investigations, which of course included, as you mentioned, Sonny Bono's situation. Mm-hmm. He actually was murdered because of a huge inquiry that he was about to open on the floor of the Congress in 10 days after this Christmas holiday he was on. He was murdered, and it was primarily on material that I had supplied Sonny, and it was related to, of course, the drugs and connections into very high-level people, the government. No way they could ever allow that to begin, so they actually, it was almost an obligation on the bad guy side of it mm-hmm. to eliminate Sonny before he got back from the Christmas holidays. And even included, as a matter of fact, I was hired by Manuel Noriega's lawyers to do an investigative report for them as well. And many of these things that I actually did were classified, ended up being secret or top secret when I had completed them. And I was asked by the Intelligence Committee at the Senate level to also do a report on the bombing in Oklahoma, which when I completed it and gave it to Senator Arlen Specter, it kind of vanished because obviously I did an honest report and it brought all of that back to the front step of the White House at that time. But so that being said, for myself to get into something like looking into something rather left field, like the possibility of Planet X coming back. It's taken a lot of nerve on my side. I'm afraid this is one of those things where it's a complete loser for me. If I'm wrong, of course, everybody just say, oh, boy, he was Fletcher, really, was got crazy there.
Yeah, he flipped out on us at the end,
yeah,
right?
He flipped out. He must have been smoking the drapes or something. So would have that on the side if I'm wrong. And, of course, if I'm right, this thing is so horrendous and so devastating with the potential on the entire globe that there won't be anybody around to pat me on the back and say, hey, Bob, you were sure right on that. You did a good job. So I'm kind of in a double loser here. But let me get back to the basic problem.
Sure.
I had realized all of this money vanished, and it's way, way too much money to just be normal theft. If we stop and you just apply common sense and logic, everybody out there, you have to say, wow, wait a minute. Well, we're talking over 10, 20, 30 years now, trillions and millions, and God knows how much was in Fort Knox. And that's not there anymore, folks. And by the way, and I'm sure you're aware of it, but this fellow that was actually in charge of the International Monetary Fund, he was the managing director his name was, I think, Dominique Kahn, Strauss-Kahn. He was from France, was actually in line to be the premier of France, as a matter of fact, and considered to be on the sixth most influential Jewish banker in the world by the banking community. All right, this is the guy that ran the International Monetary Fund. He came forward a couple years ago and wanted, like Ron Paul, he said, we have to get an audit of our gold.
Noriega as well, as you know.
That's right, absolutely. So here we are. We've got all this money's vanished. Where did it go? Then I remembered I had these people that had come in. I even had, back in 94 at the 95, when the Denver airport had been, so many people were coming to me with the Denver airport thing. And that was way back then. And they were saying, hey, Bob, you need to look into this. Not only is there all kinds of fraud going on financially, you know, and they're putting tons and tons of money into this, and it's just a medium-sized airport, you know, what's going on? And I had actually snuck down with a cohort of myself at that time and had done some films and photographing underneath and had seen some of the major underground tunnels.
Yes.
And had good footage of it.
Strange airport, Bob.
Okay. So putting that together also with stories of truckers that were coming to us, and they were saying, hey, here's photographs I took when I was inside some of these underground facilities. And then we were getting the stories that were extraordinary about with truckers that were coming and saying, I pulled into one underground facility and drove 800 miles underground to another location.
Wow.
And they passed on to us at that time pictures of the 18-wheelers crossing each other at intersections, railroad tracks underground, crossing two-lane highways big enough for 18-wheelers to pass easily, et cetera, et cetera. And I even, as a matter of fact, locally only 5 days ago, I had someone here in my home telling me that her brother was one of those guys that had gone and had delivered into these gigantic underground facilities. Okay, so now we have here's what we've got. We got all this money vanishing, unbelievable amounts of bucks just disappearing. We had space programs all of a sudden being changed. That Star Wars initiative, I was directly close friends with a couple of very high-level intelligence people out of Washington, and they told me that was complete garbage from day one. It was completely a bogus thing that Ronald Reagan, during that period of time, and George Bush, when they started this Star Wars concept, theoretically, where they could put up all these special satellites that would be able to look back at these with these telescopes and sensing devices and find anybody that was fooling around with nuclear weapons or any kind of explosions, and they would automatically be able to, using mirror devices, and they could send in a few seconds these Star Wars ray guns that would be able to shoot things out of the sky and all. And what was being brought to my attention, again, this is quite a while back, was that when they put all these telescopes and sensing devices and new equipment of that sort in the starting 83, 85, around that period of time, and then on through to the next 15 years, but they were all aimed outward. They were not aimed back down to the Earth as they had said they were.
Hmm.
But the bulk of these had been aimed out to outer space. So I continued putting two and two together and trying to figure out what in the world, what would cause us, all of a sudden, I say us, the corrupted secret government, to drop trillions and billions of dollars into over 100 underground facilities. And then, of course, we found out that they were being completely filled and supplied with survival foods. You know, again, that's what the trucks were bringing in. They were bringing in equipment, material, construction equipment. They were doing drilling with these gigantic drills they have. I have some pictures of them in the new DVD. as to how they even make these underground facilities. They ended up expanding and taking things like the Iron Mountain facility, and they started converting that. That's been around for a long time, very secure underground. We have military secured facilities that were older, that also were, you know, in the side, the Granite Mountains, being rejuvenated and reactivated. And they even took the NORAD facility a couple of years ago, genuinely closed it down for all intents and purposes, moved it to a different air base, an Air Force base, and that's, of course, was the facility that we used for so many years, keeping a track on any possible nuclear attack on the United States. It was all tracked by the nuclear the NORAD operations. That's been converted also into a survival underground facility, and the bulk of their electronic gear has been put into another Air Force center. So I quite logically put that together as all of this, it appears that the corrupted secret government that we've been dealing with for so long and worried about the world government, these guys were scared to death of something that was external. It was bigger than even the concept of a nuclear war. And that was then when I realized had other people that I had put on the back shelf, because I kind of thought it was a little crazy when they had talked about Planet X. And apparently, according to people that I have contacted and talked with, et cetera, and seen material, what have you on, apparently, at some point in time, around 1983 through 85, Ronald Reagan and the George Bush presidency, it was brought to his attention that we got bad news, but that Planet X, this thing that's been talked about for 50 or 60 years as being a possible problem, apparently they had zeroed in and said, we are going to get it. It's going to come back.
Wow.
And we'll be back in about 15 to 20 years. And that was the point in time. Also, for those of us who recall, Ronald Reagan did that extraordinary funny little speech on the floor of the United Nations.
The one about extraterrestrials, said, right?
That's right. He said, how good would we all come together and be friends if we realized there was an extraterrestrial problem that was going to be coming in from outer space that might bother the entire globe. That was almost within a month or so of my understanding of when it was brought to his attention that, yes, Planet X was out there, and it was going to be coming back in a period of time.
And a lot of people, so, Bob, thought extraterrestrial meant beings from another planet. He was talking about Planet X, wasn't he?
That's right. And he had made, as a matter of fact, when earlier, a couple of years ago, he was attempting to put together some kind of a cooperative deal with troops from Russia coming over and adding to helping us out. And it was a strange thing. It was like under the FEMA umbrella. And this was a, actually this is Obama I'm talking about now, as a matter of fact. He came and he was trying to put something together with the Russians, which I think at this time has fallen apart. But the idea was that so many X numbers of troops could come into the United States and assist if was necessary in the case of, and now here's where the word came in, or the word, so to speak, a celestial impact.
Wow.
And that was literally the terminology used at the table when this Obama was talking about trying to get Russian assistance, if needed. And it was a vice versa situation. And we have to also remember now we had that the meteor that came in, actually the two of them, one was being watched, and then, of course, the other one, it was missed, and then it showed up all of a sudden and a couple of years ago and crashed into Siberia.
That's right.
And Right, and everybody said, why didn't we see that? How could we not know that was coming? Because it was fairly big, and actually when it was coming in, it was a big enough size. Had it not been burned up and down to almost nothing,
blown up a little closer to the planet, it would have been a disaster.
Yeah, they were talking like, a couple hundred atomic bombs kind of a thing.
Jeez.
If it had not been dwindled down. But the big deal was, see, we never saw that. They never saw it. Nobody saw that coming. And that's sort of the same situation we're in with this Nibiru. Now, first off, it's too far out still at this point in time. It's too far out to be generally seen. Number two, it may very well be, and there's an argument on this, but there's two groups of thoughts on this thing, as to whether it is going to come in close to the ecliptic plane, it's called, that all of our planets basically are orbiting on, which is somewhat reasonably flat, so to speak, or if it is coming in at about a 30 degree off in its own separate orbital track, which would not be on the flat plane that we are on. It would be coming in from the southern, so to speak, from underneath the area where our regular orbiting is of the rest of the planets. So I got, at that point in time, that was, and this is like 3 years ago, I got seriously concerned with it. And I talked to, again, I have an awful lot of very high-level friends that I had just generated, mostly because they were coming to me, because so many of the bums that I originally blew the whistle on in the Iran-Contra mess, they were involved. There were military generals and officers, the guys that ran the Vietnam War, the guys that actually Air America put narcotics in the carcasses of our soldiers and shipped them back to the States. That's how, you know, these characters were. And they were involved with so many things. That's why I ended up having congressmen and senators and what have you, they would call me and they would say, Bob, this guy and that guy, did you ever see him with this fellow and that guy? You know, and could you investigate it, et cetera. So there was this overlapping of all this criminality.
Hold on for a second, Bob. We're at the top of the hour already, but we'll be back with another one with you.